This is Book Radio. I'm Mark Strassman. Our guest today is Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni, author of The Mistress of Spices. Welcome to Book Radio.
Thank you.
For people who aren't too sure about it, we need to tell them that your book has nothing to do with the Spice Girls, don't we? Or does it?
It's a better kind of Spice Girl, a kinder, gentler Spice
Girl. Right, these are spices in their full magnificence, not in their tawdry, exploitative mode. This is your first or second novel?
This is my first novel.
Okay, and before this you've written what?
A collection of short stories titled Arranged Marriage.
And what kind of things, did you touch on any of the same themes in that you deal with here?
I think in general my books are about immigrant life.
Right.
So both of them touch on the experiences of the Indian American community living in California. But The Mistress of Spices is a book of myth and magic and brings in a lot of the magical powers of the spices.
Would you put it in the category of magical realism?
I wouldn't exactly call it magical realism. It's more like the folk tales of our country. So it has a folk tale or fairy tale quality to it.
Okay. And the heroine or hero of the story is Tilo.
That's right.
And in her true incarnation, who or what is she exactly?
Well, one of the questions of the book is, which is her real incarnation? She
right.
goes through a number of lives. She lives in a number of worlds. And in some ways, she becomes a metaphor for the immigrant woman who has to live in many worlds and create new identities for herself.
An entire worldview with which I am not very familiar of reincarnation in Hinduism is in some ways made more tangible here. It's given a fictional guise rather than a religious guise.
That's
and
right.
And we see a reincarnation happening in a number of
That's
places.
Right. And she goes through a quote-unquote death experience.
Yeah.
She undergoes a death by fire and a death by water, and then she ends up as a whole different person, and yet are we ever really completely different?
Let's talk specifically about some spices and their significance, but also about spices as such and what they're for, what they represent, what they're capable of in the worldview that you create in this book.
Spices are a big part of this book, as they are of the Indian culture, where spices are just not used for cooking, but for medicinal purposes and also for spiritual purposes. They're used at festivals, and many spices are associated with good luck. Some have special powers in, you know, turning away the evil eye and so forth. So that's, we see all of those qualities.
And in fact, they embody various aspects of a particular religious, psychological, cultural view and stand for it and represent it.
Yes, they do. For example, turmeric would be the spice of regeneration and
right.
rebirth, whereas red chili stands for the power of destruction.
Say just a little bit about how these spices come to represent the things they do, and go back as far as you want into either mythology or history or psychology or evolutionary psychology. Why is it
stand
for what they do?
There are stories associated with many of the spices which came to us from particular gods. Certain
right.
gods gave us certain spices. And then if you go back into Ayurveda, the ancient history, the ancient science of herbs and spices, they were used by particular mythical doctors, as it were,
right.
to cure certain problems, not just physical problems, but psychological problems that people have.
So would it be too much deconstructing to say that these medicinal plants were, as people emerged out of prehistory into history, which was done in India more or less before it happened anywhere else, the discoveries and the process of the discovery of the properties of these botanicals were associated with the still emerging creation of the mythological structures that came about at the same time.
That's right. In fact, the earliest stories are about twin gods. They were twin healers, and they brought many of these plants down to Earth so that people of Earth could make use of them.
Right. Well, the people of Earth who are presented with the opportunity to make use of them in your book are people who live in Oakland, California.
That's right.
A long way from the Ganges.
Halfway across the world.
Tell us how this your connection to Oakland and how that works itself into the book.
Well, when I came to the United States to study, I came to UC Berkeley,
right.
And I lived on the border of Berkeley and Oakland for a number of years.
Right.
And once I got over the culture shock of being in such a different universe, as
right.
it were,
right.
I really fell in love with the place. And as I lived there, I noticed that Oakland is kind of like the stepchild of the Bay Area.
Yes.
There are many stories set in San Francisco, which everyone loves, understandably.
Right.
And Berkeley has its own mystique.
Right.
But Oakland gets a bad rap. And I wanted to write about the ordinary people of Oakland, the people who live in the inner city, who have to deal with some really harsh realities, but do so with grace and, you know, power and courage.
So by bringing this, essentially, goddess into the situation, you were able to sort of express your feeling that they ought to be getting a better deal, I think.
Yes, although Thilo, the mistress of spices,
right.
is transformed by them as well,
right.
and realizes that part of herself, which is human and vulnerable, and realizes the power of that.
Okay, and I wanted to point out that I think that's a, I wouldn't call it an emerging major theme, but it's showing up here and there. The City of Angels, the movie, which is based on Wings of Desire, is in fact about an angel who, and the sequel also, who comes to Berlin or Germany and falls in love with a mortal and has to decide whether to stay or go, to lose immortality and experience human emotions, or
yes.
to stay and that's very similar, I think, to what happens in Mistress of Spice.
That's right. And again, that theme goes back to many of our ancient mythical tales, and I think it's that idea of having to choose between particular powers, our desire to be in control or our desire to be human.
And in fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as in my rudimentary understanding of Hindu religion in general principle, it's the hovering on the brink between enlightenment and embodiment that constitutes the most exquisite experience of human consciousness, in a way.
That's right. And in some ways, again, going back to not just the mythical tales, but religious history, the great souls who are enlightened come back again, back into the earth to be with us ordinary humans.
Right. And in fact, it's that cycle that's the ecology of the cosmos, in a way, that keeps the cycles going, of the enlightened ones coming back and becoming disenlightened in order to become enlightened again and to bring others up through the same process.
Right.
So how does all this work out in the mean streets of Oakland?
Well, what happens is a lot of people come into Thilo's spice shop where
right.
she's giving away these magical spices to help them. And as they come in, she helps them. She helps them see their problems and understand their problems and helps them make powerful and potent decisions. And she finds that they are changing her. They're changing. They're widening her world. They're broadening her sense of what community is and what love is. And I think that's the final lesson she learns. What is love? How important is it in our life?
Is it your belief that the lessons that she's learning and teaching and that you've created, in a sense, and are allowing people to learn from the Mistress of Spices is transferable out of the book into people's minds, lives, and into the experience of the world?
It's been my experience with the books that I've been most touched by that certainly happens. That's one of the reasons we read, is to look at other people's lives, feel other people's lives, really empathize, and learn their lessons. So I think so. I think ultimately it's the same lessons that the great books teach us over and over.
There are a limited number of lessons that they have to keep being relearned, I guess. Is there going to be a film version of The Mistress of Spices?
Yes, the film is being made right now.
And as usual, you can't say anything about it?
Well, no, I can say something,
oh,
which is the director is a wonderful Indian woman director
right.
who works out of England, but is going to come right here to Los Angeles to film the movie.
All right, well, good. Then when it comes out, or even before, we can talk to you you again, hopefully on Book Radio.
I'll be happy to.
Thanks very much for talking to us. Chitra Banerjee Deva Karuni, author of Mistress of Spices. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.